Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. It's time for us to return to the hotline as we bring in Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, a pleasure as always to have you on, and a lot of things we want to dive into today, from college football to baseball to the trading deadline. Let's begin with some college football. Earlier this week, you did a season preview and offered some predictions on some NCAA independents. Now, of course, BYU, Army, New Mexico, UMass, Liberty, and of course, Notre Dame are the independents at Division I. We'll leave Notre Dame out of the equation for now. We'll hit on them separately. But of the other independents, what were some of your major takeaways and some of the research that you did on some of these independents?
Yeah, it's good to leave Notre Dame out. I mean, they're essentially a Power 5 conference team just without an affiliation. But you know, when you look at the rest of the independents here, I think there's a lot of intriguing teams here with this group. And that's usually not the case. I mean, they are able to handpick their schedules for the most part. They will put together games that sort of refill the athletic department coffers a little bit. But there are a couple of interesting teams here outside of Notre Dame, of course, BYU being one of them. And my numbers are surprisingly high on BYU here this year with my power ratings and my projected spreads. I've got BYU at 7.16 wins for the upcoming season, which is very high because this is a team that plays USC, Tennessee, Washington. They play Utah every year. They play Boise State just about every year. So they've got a very, very challenging schedule, at least as far as independent teams go. But my numbers are pretty high on them. They improved by 10 points per game last year. The defense only allowed 4.7 yards per play. Seems like they've got the right coaching staff in place now, the right coordinators for Kalani Sitake, and they got a quarterback in sophomore Zach Wilson, who was very strong last year as a true freshman. BYU is a team that the arrow is pointing up for me as far as they're concerned. And then Army. You know, Army is a team that, I mean, look, this is the best stretch of Army football dating back to 1944 to 46 when they won three straight national championships. They play a very, very weak schedule this year. They do lose defensive coordinator Jay Bateman. He went to North Carolina. That concerns me a little bit. But even though Army is outside the top 50 in my power ratings, I still have them down for 10.7 wins because they play one of the weakest schedules in college football, and they'll be a double-digit favorite in 10 of their 13 games.
Well, I mentioned we transition into Notre Dame. Boy, in your preview, I thought it was really interesting. You detailed how this could be a rough year from a scheduling perspective for Notre Dame, not only because of the opponents that they play, but because they're playing a lot of these teams who are going to be pretty well rested.
Yeah, Notre Dame plays seven teams coming off of bye weeks here this season, and some of them aren't very good. New Mexico's not a very good team. Bowling Green, I know that one hurts for you, but they're not a very good team. Navy, I think, is down quite a bit here again this season. Some of the other teams they play off of byes, they play Virginia Tech, Duke, USC. It's really tough to pinpoint where Notre Dame will be this season. My numbers have them down for, you know, roughly nine wins, about 8.82 victories. But when you look at the teams that they play annually, USC is down. Stanford is down. USC is actually down quite a bit from what they used to be in recent years. Virginia Tech is coming off of a bad year. A lot of people, a lot of sharper people in the college football betting community do like the Hokies for this year, but Duke is down as well. The only clear-cut losses, at least as far as my numbers suggest, for the Fighting Irish would be the game at Georgia and the game at Michigan. So the most likely scenario here this year for Notre Dame is probably 9-3. If they trip up in one of those favorite roles, they could very well go 10-2. A lot of talent here with this team. It's a high floor team, but I worry about what the ceiling is with those two really difficult road games and then just expectations in every other game that they have to live up to.
That's wild to me. The seven teams they're playing coming off of bye weeks, that was the thing that really stood out to me in reading the preview about the Fighting Irish, because it puts them at such a disadvantage, even if it is against some of those teams that, at least on paper going into the season, shouldn't be very good. But just think about how they're at such a tremendous disadvantage. That's an extra week for those teams to let their wounds heal just a bit. It gives that team an extra week to prepare for Notre Dame as well. How much of that factors in to you putting the total win number out there?
Yeah, 8.82 for me is solely based on where I power rate the teams and then home field advantage. So these numbers don't even take into account the bye weeks for me and some of the other situational spots that come into play. But also something else to consider about Notre Dame, not just the fact that they're playing rested teams, but because they don't have that conference affiliation and they wind up playing a lot of ACC opponents and a lot of Pac-12 opponents, they're not playing a lot of, you know, geographically close games against conference competition. You know, they're kind of going back and forth, coast to coast, all over the place. So for Notre Dame, not even just playing the rested teams, but also the Fighting Irish generally have one of the more grueling travel schedules of all the teams in college football because, like I said, they're playing the Pac-12 and the ACC. So that's another consideration here for Notre Dame where late in the year, you know, if they have some injury problems and maybe don't have the depth that you would expect them to have, then it becomes even more of a challenge because they've got some very fatigued players that have already played a very long schedule.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, getting into his college football previews, just touched on some of the independents. Let's transition into the Big 12. It was interesting. You previewed them earlier this week, and, you know, a lot of people seem to like Texas quite a bit, and you don't like them quite as much as a lot of other people do. I think you've got the win total at 9, 9.5. What is it that you aren't so strong on Longhorns, whereas maybe a lot of other people are?
Yeah, my numbers have Texas down for 8.62 wins. So under 9.5, even though it's a little bit juiced at minus 150, is my strongest win total play here in the Big 12. A lot of places do have 9 with more reasonable juice on this team. But, you know, for Texas here, look, I mean, the blueprint is there for them to be very, very good. They're only an underdog to me against LSU at home in week 2 and then against Oklahoma in the Red River Rivalry, the neutral site game that takes place. Used to be in Dallas, now it's in Arlington. They're a pick 'em at Iowa State. So this is a team that does have a pretty high ceiling. They do have the opportunity to win a lot of games, in particular in conference play. But also, this is a team that got outgained on a yards-per-play basis last season. Tom Herman, much better in the underdog role, 10-5 straight up, 13-2 against the spread. Yes, he's 29-9 straight up as a favorite, but only 14-22-2 against the spread. So Herman's better as the hunter instead of the hunted. And this year, Texas is a little bit of a hunted team by a lot of the teams out there in the Big 12. And look, you know, when you look at how this team finished up last season, you know, they had Oklahoma on the ropes in the third quarter in the Big 12 Conference Championship game, wind up losing that one. I think it was 37-29 or something like that. And they pretty much dominated Georgia for three quarters in the Sugar Bowl. Georgia didn't want to be in the Sugar Bowl. That was a chance for Texas to get a big marquee victory. Georgia wanted to be in the national chair in the college football playoff. They wanted to be one of the final four teams. They very well could have been. They were right there with Alabama in the SEC Championship game. Georgia didn't want to be in that game. Texas did because they needed that big landmark victory. So I think there's a difference between perception and reality for the Longhorns here this season. And again, I mean, you talk about talent at Texas. They've had talent year in and year out, and they've squandered it for the better part of this decade. So why would that change now?
You had mentioned Texas doing better as the hunter, not the hunted. And it's interesting how that kind of relates to the top team in the Big 12 in Oklahoma, a team that has certainly been the hunted for a very long time now. Does anybody have a realistic chance of knocking off Oklahoma this year?
I don't think so. I mean, right now I've got Texas about a touchdown underdog in that neutral site game against Oklahoma, and that would be the closest team here to the Sooners. I mean, I think Iowa State is a very, very good football team, but they just don't have the ceiling that a team like Oklahoma has. That being said, I have serious question marks about Oklahoma. Four new starters on the offensive line, defense allowed over 6 yards per play last year, and how does Jalen Hurts fit into this Lincoln Riley system? A lot of RPO, as we know from them. Can he throw a deep ball and keep the defense honest? Will he have to get the ball to guys in space? And they lost a burner in space on Hollywood Brown, who got taken in the first round of the NFL draft. You know, I don't know. When you kind of read between the lines here of what Lincoln Riley has had to say about Jalen Hurts, he talks about his experience. He talks about his athleticism. He talks about all these buzzwords and things that, you know, sound real good. But when you really narrow in on it, can this guy throw the football? Is he going to be able to move the ball for Oklahoma? They do have a 1,000-yard rusher. They did have 2,000-yard receivers last year, and one of them is back in CeeDee Lamb. So he's set up for success. Oklahoma has the highest ceiling, probably the highest floor of anybody in this conference as well. My numbers have them, you know, kind of more in the 10.5 range, right where the line is, 10.64 wins. But I do have concerns. I think Oklahoma is a team that wins a lot of games, but maybe doesn't cover the spread as much as we've seen them do in the past.
All right, well, before we take a break here, I want to take a look at the rest of the conference and see how they all stack up against the top two right now anyways in the Big 12 in Oklahoma and Texas. Some interesting reads, just kind of taking a look at your preview, you know, looking at Kansas, and there's some local ties in there as well because Les Miles is now the head coach for the Kansas Jayhawks. And you mentioned discussing Kansas that a lot of people have them with a win total of just 3. And you mentioned it's kind of dangerous to play a team with a win total that low.
It is a little bit dangerous. And, you know, this is such a strange year for the Big 12. I mean, you've got 5 of the 10 teams with new starting quarterbacks, 4 of the 10 teams with new head coaches, and some of the teams with new head coaches very competitive, like a Texas Tech, like a Kansas State, like a West Virginia, and then Kansas, of course, the other one with a new head coach here with Les Miles. Look, I'm not a Kansas fan for this year. I think that Les Miles is a decent hire for them. He's obviously a stopgap hire in hopes that they kind of build up the recruiting base of this program and can go out and get maybe a more exciting offensive coordinator or something like that from a Group of Five school. So Les Miles is here for a reason. It's not to win games, though. And this Kansas team last year, you know, they did win a couple of games last season, but they had a +12 turnover margin over those two victories against Central Michigan and Rutgers. If they, you know, aren't benefactors of that, maybe they only win one game, you know, in the previous season. So they haven't won more than one conference game since 2008. They play the 9-game conference schedule in the Big 12. I just don't see a whole lot to like about Kansas for this year. My numbers actually have them with 2.5 wins, and that may be a little bit optimistic. So under 3 would be the way to look, but, you know, again, obviously, if they run into some good fortune with you know, teams having injuries or something like that, you know, maybe they could pick off a couple of Big 12 opponents. Because a lot of the teams in this conference are in a state of transition this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the fascinating thing about the Big 12. So many different head coaches, so many new faces as well. Let's step aside for a break. We've got the University Hospitals You and Your Health segment coming up next. And then we will come back with more. We'll talk some baseball with Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com right after this here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.